Welcome, friend. I'm Connie. Today, we're going to be diving into something that will touch every partnership at some point, and that is, what do you do when you and your partner see differently on lifestyles? And I just want to remind everyone that I am not a therapist or a marriage counselor. I'm a life coach with some practical insights and a beautiful marriage. If your partnership is in trouble, please seek professional help. I'm asked often how to handle differences in marriages. Maybe one of you is a minimalist and the other one is a big spender. Perhaps one of you likes to eat clean and the other loves convenience food. Or one of you wants to save money and the other one believes in living for now. Lifestyle differences can bring a lot of tension into a relationship, but it doesn't need to break the relationship. Today, we're going to be talking about practical solutions that you can come together in a loving and respecting way so that you can resolve some of these issues and find common ground. Let's be honest, we don't usually marry our clones, which is a beautiful thing. You fall in love with the person you're with for what's on the inside, not their lifestyle choices. Some of the differences that are brought to me are health. When one spouse is really focused on getting healthy, eating clean, exercising, moving their body, and the other one has no interest, this will bring issues into the home around meals, groceries, concerns about the one party not being physically fit, because that brings worry into the relationship. You worry for their health and your loved one. Other issues could be one of you is a minimalist or looking to simplify the life, while the other one loves to buy or holds on to things because they think that they will need it someday, or they're emotionally attached to their possessions. Social contradictions. One of you could be a homebody and just loves nothing more than curling up at home with a good book, while the other one is an extrovert and they love going out and socializing and being around other people. Or one of you is frugal and a big saver, an investor, and the other one wants to spend money and live life because you never know what tomorrow is going to bring. I think one of the biggest differences is when we have children. Not only how we raise the children, but the priorities around family time versus individual time and work. This can bring a lot of contention into a relationship because now it's not just the two partners. We also have children that we're looking after. And so if you're not on the same page when it comes to prioritizing family, individual activities, and work, it can be a real disruptor in the relationship. A great marriage is not when the perfect couple comes together. It is when an imperfect couple learns to enjoy their differences. When lifestyle differences surface, it can sometimes feel like we're living with a stranger. My husband and I love each other dearly, and we have a beautiful, loving marriage of 20 years. But that doesn't mean that it has always been perfect. It doesn't mean that we have not seen eye to eye on some really big lifestyle choices. And it doesn't mean that we don't argue about these things, because we do. But learning how to navigate these differences are key. Learning that sometimes one of us or both of us are making decisions based on our history, our upbringing, our values, and what we think is important in life. Sometimes the differences of lifestyle also comes down to fear, scarcity, fear of not being loved. And so when there are these differences, it's vital to take time to listen. Listen without trying to be right. Listen to understand where your partner is coming from so that you can learn more about them and who they are and the driving force. I have definitely been guilty in the years past, especially my younger years, of always trying to be right. Digging in my heels and arguing my point to be right. And it really hurt my marriage, because eventually my husband would just throw up his hands and go, "Fine, you're right." And I didn't feel good. What did I gain from pushing so hard to be right? It took me many, many years of our marriage to learn how to let go of the rope, to stop arguing for the sake of being right. Instead of giving my point of view all the time and trying to convince him, pulling back and asking, why? Why do you feel that way? What makes you think like this? What aspirations do you have, or how do you envision it? This has really bonded us closer together, because now it's not just one-sided Connie show. It is much more of a team effort, teamwork, and I feel like we're in it together. Sometimes the core values are different. This can be, I think, a lot of how we were raised in the home we were in, or the area, or maybe even the country is different. Core values takes a lot of patience and understanding and being curious about what values really resonate with your partner. Because everyone leads their life from a place of values and what they hold dear. For instance, I hold autonomy very dear. I love my freedom. I love freedom to explore the world, to try new careers. I hate being boxed in, or feel like I'm being boxed in. I like my freedom a little bit more than my husband. He likes his freedom too, but not to the degree I do. And when this first became kind of an issue is when I wanted to sell everything we owned and buy an RV and travel the United States so I could follow my two older children who had just left home. He was not on board. He was not on board. He thought I was crazy, and I am a little bit crazy that way. And it took a lot of patience and understanding on both of our sides to come to a compromise and an agreement. But there was definitely no way I could convince him or push the issue or nag him until he finally gave in, because it was such a big lifestyle change to go from a home to an RV and travel with our youngest daughter, that I needed him to have the same vision that I did and to be on the same page with me to make it happen. And eventually we got there. And yes, we did end up traveling in an RV and got him out of his box a little bit. And now he is much more open to traveling and living abroad. We all experience different life seasons. Some of us, when we're in our 20s, feel very rambunctious and like we can take on anything, while others, maybe in our 20s, we feel like that's the time to really settle down, go to college, get the degree, get in with a good job. And so if you're in a partnership, respect where the other person is at in their season. We all grow at different times, not only in maturity, but also just what we want. Our perspective on life changes based on experiences that we have in our life. It's not like we just stop growing or adapting or changing when we're 18. And so having understanding and respect for the other person in the relationship and maybe where they are at right now in their life, instead of trying to force them to come along with where you are, maybe you step back a little bit and meet them halfway, or at least come to an understanding of what each other are experiencing right now in their life. If there's one thing I have learned in my 20 years of marriage, it's that respect and acceptance are key to a happy relationship. You cannot, nor should you try, to change the other person. They are exactly who they are. And you would not want them to try to change you. Finding the things in them that you love. They do not have to be the same things that you are. Accepting who they are and falling in love with them every day over and over, because you can appreciate the difference instead of being upset that they don't see eye to eye with you on certain things. Acceptance of them does not mean that you are giving up who you are. It's important for both of you to have autonomy, to be your own individuals, and then finding common ground with each other. Always respecting and loving who they are and reminding yourself why you fell in love with them. The key soul in that person. It's not necessarily what they choose to eat or if they're an extrovert and you're an introvert. It's the human being inside that you fell in love with. And the longer you're together, both of you will change. but by communicating and compromising and learning more about each other, being open to discussion, you will grow together, not apart. Successful relationships are built on compromise. And if you are in a relationship, you know this just as well as I do, that communication and compromise is the cornerstone of any healthy long-term relationship. Before my brain injury, I was very much a driver personality. And my husband, he is more passive. And so I would lead, and it would be my way, and I would plan and get it all done. And it did not serve our marriage well, because even though I was more dominant and he was more passive, he, I found out later, resented me for it. And he felt like he didn't have a say in our life together. This really came to a head of how deep it went when I had the idea to buy land in the Appalachian Mountains in North Carolina, and that we would live off-grid and build a house. He agreed. Well, first he disagreed. This is one of those instances when I did convince him. It was not good. And he agreed. We went on the land. But the more time we were on the land, which is not easy to live off-grid, it's very difficult, the more resentful he became. And it really almost ended our marriage. I wasn't compromising because I didn't give him the space he needed to open up and be honest with me. Since then, we sold the land because it came to the point that I would rather have a marriage with the man I love than a piece of land. And I don't regret that one second. I adore my husband. And I'm so glad I'm with him and we have the life that we have now, and that I wasn't stubborn or more stubborn than I already was and dug in my heels to try to not compromise, but to have it my way, because it would have ended our marriage and I would have regretted that dearly. Since then, our marriage is much more equal. We both take turns leading. I mean, since my brain injury, he really does most of the leading now, and it's nice. It's refreshing. And we have found ways to compromise on everything. How much time we spend together as a couple, and also nurturing our own individual needs and times as well. And of course, when you're compromising often, communicating often is also necessary. Lots of check-ins. My husband and I usually do a check-in every week on Saturday or Sunday when we're just walking or taking a stroll or visiting over a meal. And this way, time does not pass too long without a check-in, so that we're always just kind of touching base on how each other are doing and areas that we need the other one to compromise a little more on, or that we need help in something or a certain area, or just how we're feeling that week. If we're very overwhelmed or need a little extra love and attention, the check-in is the perfect time to address all of the issues that are happening in our lives. When there are differences between you and your partner, instead of being upset, is it possible to view it from a different light? I am more tidy and clean and organized than my husband. And I used to get really upset by this. But as we get older, I have a different perspective. Last week, I went to close the lid yet again on the toothpaste. And I just had this epiphany of there will be a day when I don't get to close the lid on the toothpaste. And I hope now that I get to close the lid on the toothpaste for the next 30 years. Instead of being irritated at your partner or spouse because of an action that they do that is not the same that you would have done, look at it and smile and appreciate who they are. Appreciate the differences. And hope that you get to have them for another 30 years. An affirmation that I like to say to myself when I'm feeling frustrated is, I appreciate and love my husband, not despite our differences, but because of our differences. Finding that sweet appreciation for your partner is love. It's deep, authentic love that grows over time. Nothing brings a partnership closer together than being on the same page about your life. Not the little differences, but the big visions. Sitting down and daydreaming with each other about where you think you'll be in 5 years or 10, or if money were not an object at all, where would you want to live? What would you want to do? Getting on the same page and visualizing together your future is shining the light not on the little differences here and now and today, but on where you're going together, and the journey that you're taking with one another. Finding little things and activities that you both like doing, and doing those often, whether it's going out to a nice restaurant or having a picnic in the middle of nowhere. These little things are the little sparks of joy and magic that keep your relationship strong. It's what keep you connected with one another. Celebrating your little achievements that you have together. Recognizing when things are going well, not just when there's differences, and appreciating all of the things that your partner is, everything that they bring to the relationship. Also creating traditions together whether it's baking a cake for a birthday or movie night on Saturday night, no matter how big or small the tradition is, it's something that you both do together. If you are in trouble in your relationship, please seek professional help. You fell in love with your partner not because they were just like you, but because they were different from you. Remember all of the reasons you fell in love with them. Practice compassion, understanding, and openness with your partner. Cherish them and create memories with traditions and have a vision together of where you see your life going. There is no such thing as a perfect couple. You are both individuals who have chosen to live your life together. Have a beautiful day, my friend.